Earlier this week, I was just sitting kind of thinking about all the crazy that's going on right now. And I was thinking about how so many times when the Lord is speaking and leading us, it creates this tension in our hearts where we have the opportunity to be both really encouraged and super discouraged at the same time. Because when the Lord's speaking and there's a little delay on those things, our hearts have the tendency to wane so much. And I was just reminded, in the middle of the week sometime, it's okay. It's okay that not every day of our life is a super faith kind of day. It's okay that not every day of our life is filled with such zeal to pursue the Lord with every little bit of us. And in the days when it's not a super faith-filled kind of day, I'm content to settle for, oh, Jesus, help me sort of day. And just as we have those different experiences where we're kind of at the top of the mountain and sometimes we're in the middle of the valley, just let us be a people. My heart was just reminded again, I just want to be an individual that whatever the season, whatever the amount of joy or discouragement that I might be feeling, I just want my conversation to be aimed heavenward and not outward, not, you know, to people first. I just want my conversation to just be, oh, Jesus, just help me if it's a day I don't feel like I have anything to give. Help me to love you. And if it's a day that he's given me so much, then Jesus, you're awesome. I just want my heart to be turned to him. And I was reminded of that. And so, you know, that kind of came forth in the tonight's message, the direction that I want to go. Entitled it From Glory to Glory, a passage you guys are probably there's not two blah blah blahs in that word, probably familiar with, and a concept that we're familiar with. But I just want my heart to be so connected to the process, and as I do the best I can to lead us, and recognizing that some in the room have known the Lord for, you know, quite some time and have been really pursuing him for a number of years, and some are, you know, new believers and hungry, and man, some of the messages that are applicable to all of us are some of the simple ones. I was talking with a friend earlier this week, and I so appreciated their perspective on life. It was clear that they were really having a heart connect with the Lord, and they were telling me just a little bit about, you know, some of the things that they were going through and some of the things on their, you know, mind and heart. And they're being offered some different things, and the Lord's, you know, presenting them with some different opportunities. And they just said the following statement to me. They just said, you know, I just want to be found faithful when I lay my head on my pillow at night. It's like, man, that is so it. Just at night, when the day's done, not a week, not a month, not a year, not a whole season, when a day is done, I just want that day. I just want to be able to lay my head on my pillow and be found faithful before the Lord, before that audience of one. I just want that. I just so appreciate that, because that is the heart posture of so many of you, probably all of you in this room. I know in dialoguing with so many of you that's your heart's posture, and it makes doing life with you guys the greatest joy, and really a lot easier than so many other places that I could be, because I'm surrounded by people whose genuine heart desire is, God, at the end of this 24-hour block, I just want to be found faithful in your sight. I just want to have done what I was supposed to do today. I just think, man, when it breaks down to it, that is the most simple-hearted breakdown of our Christianity, is today. I just want to be found faithful with God today. Well, if you guys want to open the Bible with me, we'll also have it on the screen, I think, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this passage where, one of the passages where we get this term From Glory to Glory, it's awesome passage, because it talks about what the Lord's doing, and it also talks about our part. And just jumping right in, talking about this idea of the veil being taken away. And once that veil's taken away, what happens? 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now, the Lord is spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This passage is describing the beautiful work at salvation, but so much of what occurs at salvation is just the down payment for our entire walk in Christ. I mean, so much of our of what we are as believers, what we experience in God, it starts at our salvation. And then it's the same stuff, just the veil's pulled back further and further as we continue to walk in Christ. This passage says that when one turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. And then when the veil's taken away, now you have the opportunity to be able to see clearly. And that we continue to walk closer to the Lord, and as we do, we're being transformed from glory to glory, from moment to moment, from immaturity to maturity. In every area of our life, it's like the layers of an onion. We go from glory to glory. It's a layer is peeled back, another layer is peeled back, another layer. And in each area of our life, these layers are being peeled back as we continue to pursue the Lord. As we turn to Him, the veil is pulled back and we begin to see. But man, I don't know about you guys, when I first came to Christ, I did not see everything perfectly, nor do I now. But as I continue to walk closer to Him, I do see things more clear in this area of my life. And as time goes on, in this area of my life, I see things a little bit more clear. And in this area of my life, I see things a little bit more. And then this area over here, when I came to Christ, the veil was pulled back. I had the opportunity to begin to start seeing things clearly in this area. And as I kept walking, it's like doors kept opening of greater measure of clarity. We're going from glory to glory. We're in the process of being transformed into His likeness. This is awesome. That as we gaze upon Him, as we look and think and meditate upon Him, as we behold who He is, we are being transformed into who He is. And it happens a little bit at a time, one layer at a time. And I would even go as far as to say one layer in that area of your life at a time. And how many areas of our life are there? I can see, even as my own personal testimony, there are areas of my life where there have been a few more layers off that onion pulled off than in some other areas of my life where I think the onion must be callous because those layers are coming off real hard and slow. But the point is that as we continue to walk with Him, we continue to be transformed into His image. This begins the process of our sanctification. As we come to know Him, as we walk with Him, we're being sanctified, we're being transformed into His likeness. Another passage that just describes it so well is when Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I would think like a child, I'd reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things." This idea, again, of this growing up process. This is our way forward as believers. It's to grow up. It's the process of our maturing. It's what we've been called into. And we start off fully unaware of our immaturity. I've just seen that over and over. I'm fully unaware of my immaturity until I realize I'm immature, and then I start to go, oh wow, there's areas here, this onion that need to be peeled back. And when we came to Christ, a veil was pulled back that began a process for each of us, for us to begin to identify our childish ways. And some of those, immaturity isn't wickedness. There's a big difference there. You guys love Jesus, and you guys, just like me, are immature. We're walking this thing out. Immaturity is not rebellion. Immaturity is not wickedness. But as we realize the areas of our immaturity, the Scripture calls us to put those childish ways behind us and to embrace what it is that the Lord calls the process of our maturity, the process of our sanctification. So we begin to recognize our maturity, our immaturity, one area at a time. It's our call to then take intentional efforts to work those things out. No news here tonight. Again, a simple message for a group of people that I know is all pursuing the Lord. But sometimes, again, the simple messages are the ones we need to just be reminded of again and again. So a few takeaways. I want to talk about our responsibility, our opportunity to continue to go from glory to glory. It's an invitation. It's about turning to the Lord again and again. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's not just our salvation. It's the continual turning. And as we continue to turn, the veil is continually pulled back more and more. To continually put our childish ways behind us, advertise a few of the steps I know that He wants us to take. My hope tonight is to say enough good stuff that the Bible says that everybody in the room is hit by at least one thing. So this isn't going to be a deep one. I'm asking you to pray and ask the Lord to minister to you tonight and to begin to speak to each one of us about some of the areas that He's wanting to pull back that onion, pull back that veil, and show us in our walk. You know, as a pastor, and I'm preparing each week, trying to figure out, Lord, what are You doing? What are You saying? I just realized that one of the primary reasons that the Lord gives leaders into the body of Christ is to help the people to mature. And so messages on maturity are an essential part of our growth, but messages on maturity really probably aren't super deep. Messages on maturity are just an exposing of the things that the Holy Spirit's already speaking to our hearts. And so again, my hope tonight really is, I'm going to pray here in a minute. I'm going to ask the Lord to start illuminating tonight in each heart areas of maturity that He's wanting us to press on into in this next season. And my hope is that somehow the Lord is going to use that to bring this whole congregation from glory to the next glory. Because all of us have areas that I know that the Lord is speaking to us about, that He's wanting from us, for us, through us, in us. And so it's my hope tonight that as a church, we recommit to the process. We just say, Lord, wherever I'm at, wherever each one of us is at in this maturity process, Lord, I'm Yours. Do Your work. When I lay my head down on my pillow tonight and tomorrow night, and then I just want to be found faithful with the things that You're saying to me, with the areas that You're leading in my heart this week. Father, I ask You tonight that You would minister to each heart. Holy Spirit, illuminate, speak to each one. It's going to need to be a work of Your Spirit because I have nothing of value to say tonight. I pray that You would minister to each heart and that You, God, would bring forth each one of us from the current measure of glory into that next glory, that You would mature us. I know You are more committed to our maturity process than we are. I pray, God, minister to us tonight and help us, Father God, to just be all the more invigorated, all the more committed to the process of our maturing in Jesus' name. Well, I've just kind of oversimplified things tonight. I think that there's really three reasons for our maturity. Again, oversimplification. One is for His sake. Two is for our sake. And three is for their sake. I see the process of maturity in the Scripture dealing with those three realms. Maturing for God's sake. The things that He wants that seem to really be an issue of the Lord doing a work in our heart for His glory. Second is maturing for our own sake. There are things that we get to experience in Him that as we mature, the richness of that experience increases. So it's kind of for a selfish thing, maturing for our own sake. And then also maturing for their sake or for the sake of ministry. The concept of ministering to others and so much of what the Word talks about in this process of our maturing is so that we can be of a greater benefit to the others in the body of Christ or lost or, you know, even the world around us. And so, again, oversimplification, but these three areas are what I want to look on tonight. So starting off in Psalm 23:3, just a simple little word to meditate on. Psalm 23, verse 3, maturing for His sake, it says this, He guides me, the Lord, He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. The Lord is the one guiding us. He's leading us along right paths. He's instructing us. He's the one. He's in charge. He's guiding. But He's guiding for His name's sake. He's guiding you. He's committed to your maturity. He's committed to this process. He's giving you leadership and instruction because He wants His name glorified in the earth. Because He wants to know you and allow you to step into greater measures of glory in knowing Him. And so it's for His name's sake, maturing for His sake. A couple of points on what this looks like. My hope here on each one of these three is to just list off a few areas of life that I think are related to that area of the maturing process. So one, obviously, is living out the greatest commandment. I think if we can manage to slip in the greatest commandment to every sermon that we ever do around here, it probably will wind up good for us at the end. The idea that the Lord's greatest desire is for us to love Him with our all. And as we look at that, the Lord's leading us along right paths for His name's sake, that we would love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As I just think about that, as I'm just reminded again, Lord, what does loving You with my all today look like? You know, if you don't have a good answer to that question, like it's kind of gotten stale, like I used to know, or well, you know, I've read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I don't know how many times. If you kind of feel like you're a little stale on the answer to that question, on how to love the Lord your God with all, just ask Him. Lord, I'd like to grow in the maturing of loving You with all. All of these are action verbs or postures of the heart, attitudes of the heart that require a response from us. And to love Him more. Lord, what does it look like to love Him more? I just ask You to ask Him. Lord, what does it look like in my life to love You with all? Next, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's enough on that list we could spend our whole life. But Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To pursue the Lord, to grow in the maturing process for the Lord's sake, is to grow in these fruit of His Spirit. Just in this season, maybe that's one of the things that the Lord's really trying to speak to you about, is one of the fruit of the Spirit that He really wants you to hone in on, to grow for His name's sake. Next bullet point, embracing obedience. Oh, it's so hard sometimes. I mean, it's easy when obedience is the thing you want to do. Brad, you must go to Six Flags today. Yes, sir, Lord. Done. You know, I've only had Him say that to me like once. I did it though. I went. Most of the time, the obedience issue, it's tough. It's stuff we don't want to do. It's things we don't want to deal with. It's things we don't want to say. It's areas of our life we don't want Him messing with, and we don't want Him touching. But the truth of the matter is, as we mature, as we grow, as we go from glory to glory, the Lord is wanting us to grow in our capacity to embrace obedience quickly. To not fight Him on it, to not say no, to not bring up our excuses, to just embrace that obedience. And it's for His name's sake, it's for His glory. He's leading us upon these the right paths. He's guiding us. And it's for His name's sake. And I just want to grow in the will of my heart to embrace obedience instead of fight it, to say yes, to just do what it is that He's leading, that He's saying, that I know He's already spoken in His Word. I just want to grow in that grace. Next is interceding for His purposes. I was looking at this and I was just trying to, what does it mean, Lord, for our maturing process as it pertains to the stuff for Your sake? Maturing for Your sake, because we're going to look at for our sake and for their sake in a minute, but from this concept of maturing for Your sake, what's an area of the life of a believer, what's the area of a life of an American believer that's something that we really, probably a lot of people get to the end and don't get a good grade on the report card. Like, what is an area neglected? And I just feel like this is a massive area. Interceding for His purposes. Growing, maturing. Of course, when we start up, when we come to Christ, of course we have no grid of this concept. I mean, we have no idea that it would be a good idea to ask God what He once prayed for and then to pray it. I mean, that's a pretty foreign concept, especially in our selfish culture. But it's something the Lord wants us to grow in, to mature. We start off a total infant, but as we start to realize, as we mature, the Lord wants us to put childish ways behind. And for His sake, I know He wants us to intercede for His purposes. Probably the most common prayer ever prayed on the planet, Matthew 6, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Let Your kingdom come and Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that Jesus said, this is how you should pray. This is, I mean, you want this concept of intentionally partnering with the Lord's heart and interceding talking to God about the things God wants done on the planet. And I just look at this and go, man, even a people who are a part of a prayer ministry, this is an area that can so easily just be left by the wayside because we're busy praying for the stuff in our lives and even for, you know, our friends and those kinds of things. But I just see this as something that's in the Lord's heart, that for His sake, a part of our maturing for His sake, is that we would actually grow in interceding for the things He cares about. All right, well, maturing for our sake. Matthew 10:39. Jesus is talking about our lives, laying them down for our own benefit. He says, whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now, while Jesus, clearly he's saying, if you lay it down for my sake, you'll find it. The promise really isn't for Jesus here. The promise is for us. And that is, if we will lay down our life, that we will then begin to embrace things. We will find life in ways that we've never known before. We'll be able to experience life in abundance. And so this is Jesus' promise. And there's 100 others that could have illustrated it probably better. 100 other passages talking about the Lord's desire that we would have life and have it to the full. That we would have abundance. He doesn't want us shortchanged. The Lord desires that we would mature for our own sake. So He's got His own agenda. I mean, He's got an agenda for His sake. There are things He wants us to mature in so that we can accomplish His purposes that are for His name's sake. But there's just a lot that He wants for us to have for us. That He is committed that we would be people who lay down our life in order that we would be able to have a better life, to have true life. And so I was just thinking, what are some of the ways that this manifests? What are some of the ways that this looks like? Knowing God's will. You know what? It's so important that each one of us grows in knowing God's will. I mean, it is so frustrating to not know what God wants. I mean, it is so frustrating. And you feel kind of like your hands are tied. But you know what? As we mature, this is an area of our life we can actually have those onion layers peeled back, have the veil pulled back more, where we can confidently know God's will. And to confidently know God's will gives us such confidence. It allows us to take such steps forward in God. It allows us to confidently live our lives instead of sheepishly not knowing which direction to go. It is powerful. I want us, for our own sake, to grow in knowing God's will. You know, Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that renewing of our mind, the meditating on the Lord, meditating on His Word, the focusing on the Lord, that allows a renewal of the mind. And that renewal of the mind, it says in Romans 12:2, promises that we'll know His will. I want to know His will selfishly, just so I can like know how to live and have confidence in God and get to experience the best. Because we know this, whatever great plan you have is super lousy compared to whatever could be considered God's worst plan for you. There's no such thing. But I mean, God's least, His utmost, or my utmost for His highest, isn't that what the devotional is? This concept that the least that God could have for you, the least plan that He has for you, is so much better than our own plan, our own will, our own thoughts, our own desires. And so I want to grow in knowing His will. And truth of the matter is, it takes intentionality. That's what that Romans 12 passage is talking about. Is it takes a setting of our mind. It takes an intentional washing of our mind to renew our mind so that a renewed mind might know God's will. Oh, but the benefits as we grow in the knowledge of God's will. Next, deepening our devotional life. Now, to deepen our devotional life, I know the Lord is jazzed about that. But man, how many of you know when your devotional life is alive in God, your heart is just so much better off. Your heart is so alive when you're growing in a devotional life. And I don't mean you're growing in warm, fuzzy Christianity. That's great. I love a little bit of warm, fuzzy Christianity as much as the next guy. But that's not what I mean by growing in our devotional life. I mean a committed life to the Lord in your inner man, no matter what trials come, no matter how you feel, that there's a commitment. You see, truth of the matter is, if we always have to have candy to be obedient, We can become reliant on the candy. I love feeling his presence. But the truth of the matter is a devotional life that's committed to only seeking the Lord when we feel his presence is a very immature devotional life. We want to have a devotional life that matures past that, so that we don't have to have it in order to be able to show up and spend that time with him, in order to posture our heart towards him, in order to turn our heart towards him. The deepening of that devotional life really has a whole lot more to do with one of those fruit of the Spirit, and that is that perseverance, that commitment to continue to pursue, to continue to talk with him. It's one of the themes you guys hear me talk about a lot from kind of slipping in different angles in my messages, is this idea of turn the dialogue towards God. That's what a devotional life is. Talking to God all the time. It's not the 20-minute devotional time that you open the Bible to whatever proverb that day. It's time all day long where you're posturing your heart, you're turning and you're talking to the real God who really hears you, who really sees you. But to deepen that, great book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence. The book will mess you up. This guy was a cook and a monk. And he decided, you know, I just think it's a crime to go more than about 3 seconds without, connecting to God. And so all day long, he does it for years in order to be able to create this discipline in his life where he's in constant communion with the Lord, where he's constantly talking to him. He had put a violent effort to deepen his devotional life. And it wasn't all, you know, spiritual. He's talking to God. He's dialoguing with God. He's talking to God about the soup he's cooking. I mean, he's in a devotional connection to the Lord, but it took some warring. It took some peeling back of that onion. And as a result, he was such a happy guy. That's what happens when we grow our devotional life. Increased sensitivity to his leading. This is a tough one. Because you want to grow in being sensitive to the Lord, but the truth of the matter is, as best as I know, maybe there's others that could school me on this, as best as I know, the only way to grow in being sensitive to his leading is just be obedient as fast as you can every time. And it's like the Lord allows that to be the open door in order to be able to grow in being sensitive to his Spirit. You just do it. I feel you leading this. I feel you leading that. Just, you know, don't throw wisdom out. I mean, don't go do nothing stupid. But the truth of the matter is, the only way I know to grow in being sensitive to his leading is to say yes to his leading, even when you're not 100% sure if it's his leading. You just kind of think it is. Oh, but how this is a benefit to each one of us in becoming more and more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. For our sake, to mature for our own sake, that becoming more and more sensitive is leading, because what it means is you get to experience more of God. That's what his leading is going to get you. More encounter, more experience of God. We were created to experience him. Part of the reason we're all so bored is because we're experiencing so many things and a very little bit of God. I would so much rather experience so much of God and a little bit of some of the other things. But the truth is, in order to grow in this sensitivity, it comes back, I think, to the obedience thing. But it's obedience, almost like lowercase o obedience. It's not like the Lord saying, if you do this, you're in sin. If you don't do this, then you're in sin. It's, hey, what about talking to that guy? Hey, what about going that way? What about doing this? It's almost like suggestive. He's bringing up ideas. And as we say yes to those things, our heart begins to grow in sensitivity. I've done this well in seasons, and I've done this not so well in seasons. And as I was making intentional efforts to just, oh Lord, I want to say yes to your Spirit, those little tuggings, those little leadings, I found that my heart was growing more and more, and I was encountering the Lord more. Strengthening our knowledge of the Word. It's like you're like, Brad, why are you talking to us about reading our Bibles? We all read our Bibles. Yeah, maybe we do open our Bibles. But I'm talking about a commitment to know the Word of God, not to do the quiet time. A commitment to know the Word, to know the God of the Bible by studying the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, reading the Scripture. You know, there have been times in my life where I had such a commitment to devour the Word to know God. And then there have been times where I've just been kind of like doing my religious duty to know God, reading the Word. I just want my heart to be engaged in the process. I want to be committed to the process. And each one of us, as we grow in our knowledge of the Word, as we strengthen our knowledge of who God is through His Scriptures, the Word comes back to us again and again. You know, this season of my life, I'm pretty busy. And, you know, I'm in the Word, but man, I'm pretty busy. But there was a season where I was able to really invest in this particular point. And I look back now and go, that was probably the best investment I've ever made in my life. Because I'm able to draw from not just those scriptures, not just I can quote the scriptures if I'm in an argument with an atheist. I don't even want to do that. What I'm talking about is, I'm able to draw from the wisdom and the truths about who God is in a moment that I'm not reading the Word, because my mind is remembering the knowledge of the Word of God. And it's a ministry to me years later. Years later, I'm drawing. I haven't read that passage in I don't know how long. And yet that passage is now ministering to me. And I'm feeling it. And I'm able to make decisions based off of it. I'm able to allow the Lord to lead me through it. A passage I'm not even reading right now. A passage that's jumping back to me. This is so valuable for us. Oh, we need to invest in the Word and allow the Word to then see deep in us that investment might pay off for the rest of our lives. It's not a one-time investment. I'm not done with the Word. But man, there have been some seasons where I was really going after this particular point. I was looking at this concept of, God, I want to grow. I want to mature. I just want to chase you. I want to be found faithful. I want to know you more. And in this area, God, of my own heart engaging with you, what's something I can do? And just again and again, the Word of God just kept coming to mind. Invest in the Word, and the Word will invest in you. Invest in the Word. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to encourage you. If you feel like you don't have a deep knowledge of the Word, which I'm thinking we all have to put our hands up on that one, a deep knowledge of the Word, I want to encourage you to, at least for a violent season, invest in the Word, and let the Word then forever mark you, change you, be a resource written on your heart. I promise you, you are missing out if you don't give yourself to the Word of God and allow the Word to seed deep within you. Oh, the treasure trove of the Word invested into the heart. And then maturing in our own prayer life. You know, I don't even know what that means. I wrote it up there. It sounds so right. But just this concept of maturing, it's like I want to grow in my prayer life, but not even just for the sake of intercession for God's purposes, and not even for the sake of my devotional connection to the Lord, although I want to do both of those too. But just this, my prayer life, I almost want to talk to God and go, God, when you think about me having a prayer life, what are you thinking about? Like, what's in your heart? What do you want this to look like? What do you want? I just read stories in the Bible and I see them say stuff, do stuff, think stuff, feel stuff that I just have absolutely no grid for. I mean, they're praying for stuff and stuff's happening. Like, man, I'm going to pray for stuff and stuff happen. You know, I mean, they're praying and they're operating in such authority. I'm like, oh, I want to operate in authority in prayer. They're praying and they're actually hearing God, and they're talking back to God, and they're able to move God's heart. There were times in the Word where you see a human being change God's mind. Like, what in the world? I want my prayer life to grow. I want my prayer life to grow. Again, I don't know what it means. I just know that's a bullet point. If you guys can't tell, tonight a lot has to do with my own broken little heart. Okay? So you guys are on a little train with me on the journey. But I'm just looking at this going, man, I want my prayer life to grow. I think, well, if I want my prayer life to grow and I'm a director of a prayer room, there's probably got to be at least one of you jokers in the room that feels the same way. So, one joker, hope that was for you. All right, maturing for their sake. You know, the second part of that greatest commandment is the second greatest commandment, to love people. to love our neighbor as ourself, to love others. And so much of that loving others has zero to do with warm, gushy feelings. Oh, I love you. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being able to minister to people. And that ministry requires you have something to give. Ugh, that story where the guy's got the friends, they come in the middle of the night and he's got nothing to feed them. Like, I'm just like, oh, sometimes I feel like that guy. Somebody comes to me, they're like, Brad, I need help. And I'm like, I have nothing to give you. Like, if I could give you $5 to make you go away, I would right now, because I have nothing to help you with. It's a matter of recognizing our own spiritual bankruptcy. This guy in the middle of the night, he gets up, he goes to his neighbor, and he's just so honest with his neighbor. He says, I've got friends. I know it's the middle of the night. I know you're a little irked. I'm not leaving until you give me something, because I have nothing to give my friends. I have nothing, and they're hungry. They've been on a journey. They just came. I have nothing to give them. I'm really not going to leave your front porch until you give me something to give to my friend. Well, the picture is actually talking to the Lord about how bankrupt we are and how we don't like that because our friend needs something from us. Our friend, our neighbor, the lost, the person in your small group, whoever, your friend. That your friend needs. Maybe they need a healing. Maybe they need direction. Maybe they need a breakthrough. Maybe they need an encouraging word. Maybe they, whatever they need, and you are totally bankrupt and you have nothing to give them. Like, well, if you'd have just needed something over here, I might be able to help you. But this area, I got nothing, man. Like, I hate that feeling. You know, and that's part of the reason that there's that ache in our heart is because we're called to the second greatest commandment, too. To love our neighbor. But we can't love our neighbor when we have nothing to give our neighbor. This whole concept of loving, it's always about giving something. Time, money, wisdom, something. And if you have nothing to give, there's this bankruptcy. I think a lot of believers, and I'm grateful that this really is not this community, but I think a lot of believers go their whole life and don't ever spend any time thinking about this entire area of maturing for their sake. God, give me stuff so I have stuff to give them. I want to mature for them. I want to mature so I have something to give them. You know, when I was spending a good bit of time in the Word for a number of years, I remember thinking, I would say it, I mean, I didn't know what else to pray. I'd say, Lord, help me become a resource. Like, teach me the Bible well enough I can be useful. I remember praying that. And that was actually a good prayer. I mean, I was going deeper, you know, for my own sake, but man, that was something in my heart. I was like, Lord, I just want to have something to give people because I have nothing. People come to me like, hey, Brad, what does this Bible passage mean? I have no idea. In fact, you just read it to me and it made more sense to me than it ever has before. Like, I don't know what that Bible passage means. I felt so bankrupt. Just a few areas. Leading others in the way, just leadership. The concept of maturing for their sake, leadership. Now, leadership can mean everything. Just being able to help others in their walk, whether it's direction, correction, instruction, love, encouragement, just leadership. Oh, Lord, help me that I might be able to help others. Oh, I forgot the verse. This is a great verse, especially since I had to look up all these verses that had the word sake in it. So let me give you this verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. And you know how we lived among you for your sake. Now really, all of this is talking about for their sake. They brought the gospel in such a way that when they brought the gospel, it did something for the people. And then it brought deep conviction. Deep conviction requires such an investment of the Holy Spirit in you for you to be able to speak and that conviction to come forth. It doesn't just happen. It's like the Holy Spirit is seeding something in these vessels. But then I love this. It says the way that we lived. We ordered our lives according to some very strict manner. for your sake. There's things we did. There's things we didn't do. There's things that we wanted to do so bad, but we just wouldn't do it. You know how we lived among you for your sake. This all things to all people. You know the ways we restricted ourselves for your sake. You know the ways that we stayed up late for your sake. You know the ways that we invested in ourselves so that we would have something to give to you. You know the ways that we begged God for those two loaves of bread for your sake. Just love that passage. For your sake, this concept of doing ministry. So leadership in others' lives, it's one. Developing our spiritual gifts. You know the gifts of the Spirit aren't for you? I mean, they're a ton of fun. They really are. I mean, they're really cool. If you've ever had a word of knowledge come forth, it is cool. But it's not for you. It's for them. Gift of healing. You know, if you're pressing in for a gift of healing, it's kind of sickening, actually. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit when you look at how many of these, like, faith healers died of cancer or something. Like, a lot of them couldn't heal themselves. That's not how it worked. Because the gift wasn't for them. The gifts of the Spirit are for the common good. But do you know what? By you pressing in for the gifts of the Spirit to be active and alive in your life, you have something to give them. You have something for their sake. And I think the Lord wants us to mature in this so that we have something to give. I don't like it that when I lay my hands on you, you don't get better. It bothers me. I don't like it because I'm this guy with no bread. And you came with whatever issue. I want to see that move forward. To grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Tonight's not a lesson on gifts of the Spirit, so go look them up on your own. But to make a point to be developing those gifts, to ask for gifts we don't have, to really invest into the ones that we know we do have for their sake. I mean, every time you would be praying, God, give me an increase in this gift, you know, reading books on it to learn how it, you know, it works and asking people to pray for you, you know, impart something. Every time you're doing all that, it's not for you. It's for their sake. That you might be able to be a vessel to minister to others. Thinking of others. Yeah, this one might be trickier than leading and developing and all this stuff. Is just to turn your brain to another human being's needs. To not have to wait to be asked. To not have to wait for the crisis moment where you're going to look like such a dunce if you don't help. I mean, but to go out of your way, to be thinking about others. To go out of your way for their sake. Be thinking about their needs, about what would help them, about where they're at in life. I mean, just the thinking, even not doing anything. Because the truth of the matter is, if you think long enough, you'll wind up being provoked to do something. But just the posturing of the mind. I'm going to sit on this couch and I'm going to think about this person. Lord, how do you feel about them? What do you want to do in their life? What are your purposes for them? How are they doing today? How are they doing in this season? You know, what's going on? Oh, I heard about that thing. Lord, what about that thing for them? Just thinking and talking to God about them. That's a powerful piece of our maturing process, because we're so self-consumed. I mean, I am. I think about myself. I think about my little household and my little thing. I mean, it's our normal MO. We wake up thinking about, how am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through today? What am I going to do with my stuff? I mean, just to stop and think about others is part of our maturing process. Maturing for their sake. And of course, that will provoke us to serve. So serving others. And that serving, there is no end to what that serving can look like. It can be, you know, through your time, through your intercession for them, through your encouragement. You know somebody that's just always discouraged? Well, think of them and make a new plan. Every time you see them, I'm going to say an encouraging word to that human being. Every time. It's my new thing. Because they're discouraged. I am going to be their encourager. I'm going to get them. I mean, just start serving people. This service, maturing for their sake, it's to be able to help everybody else get closer to their destiny. That's what this maturing for their sake is. That's what, whether it's the gifts of the Spirit, leadership in our own heart, ministering to them in practical ways, serving them, whatever it is, it's about helping that person over there that already They're already on their path with God. They're already in the way. They're already walking towards God. It's about helping them get there. It's about helping them take steps. It's maturing in God for them and them. And that one over there that you haven't even met yet. Now I'm looking at this process and I just want to lay my head down on my pillow and have been found faithful. And I'm recognizing that, again, an oversimplification tonight, I know. But I'm just realizing again that faithfulness is multifaceted. It's about us learning about our own weakness, about recognizing the childish areas of our life. And again, childish, you know, if you're talking about a three-year-old, a three-year-old's a three-year-old, they can't help it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a three-year-old. But it's out of place for a 10-year-old to act like a three-year-old. And so as we start to realize our childish ways, to put them behind us, as we continue to turn to the Lord, to allow that veil to be pulled back every time, so that we can mature, so we can go from glory to glory. I just don't want to get stuck at the current level of glory. Amen. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want you stuck. I don't want us to be having conversations in 5 years and looking at each other going, yeah, you're nice and all, but I don't really think you've grown at all in 5 years. Like, horrible. Let's go from glory to glory. And again, I'm just looking at it and going, I think an oversimplification is these three areas. Maturing for His sake, the things He wants for His own sake. Maturing for our sake, the things that are going to help us get to our next level in God, get to our destiny in God, just to enjoy life, to enjoy God, the things for our sake, and then the things for their sake, to be able to continue to press in for more so we have something. In some sphere, of some realm, somehow, we have something to be able to give others. If you guys stand. Father, help, help. Oh. I want everybody to pray that prayer. You can pray it silent if you want. Just God, help. Just pray, Father, that you'd talk to us tonight. Just right now, that you'd encounter each heart, that you would help us. Oh, we want to be found faithful. We want to go from glory to glory. We all say thank you for where we are. Thank you, we're not where we used to be. Thank you. But God, take us to that next place in you. Oh God, let us go from this glory, which is so much better than where we used to be. But God, let us continue to take steps forward. God, let us go to that next place in you. God, continue to refine us. Continue to mature us. Oh God, help. Help me, help each heart. Pull back that veil, God. I pray for each member of this ministry, Father, that you would help us, God, by revealing the things in us that you want us, those childish ways, those childish ideas, those childish things we've been holding on to, those little sins that we've neglected to give up along the way, those things that you're challenging us about, those areas that you're saying, you know, I really do want more for you in this area. I pray, God, help us to put childish ways behind us. Help us, God, to take a step, Father, more into our personal destiny in you, into your desire for each one of us. I pray, God, each member of this ministry tonight, help. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.